There you are. Picture yourself in Woodstock. You're strolling down Tinker Street and you find yourself with the need to read, and you are led right to the front door of the Golden Notebook bookstore. I can think of nothing finer. Jacqueline Callahan of the Golden Notebook has been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our precious time and money and is here to give us an update. Jacqueline, good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning, Joe.
This is very exciting. I think I've read 4 out of these 5 books, and so I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on them.
There are a lot of amazing books this autumn, and it's just it's
an embarrassment of riches.
Truly, truly. And for me, you know, I really it's been a long time since I've really enjoyed fiction, and this summer I read 1Q84, which really, I don't know, made me fall in love with fiction again.
Yeah.
And so it was. It's just so great this fall to have so many wonderful works of fiction and also authors that I've never read before.
And that's a commitment, too.
It is.
That book. I mean, that book was massive.
It was a massive book. I read it in 3 weeks. It was amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So what we have first is Zadie Smith, a book called N.W. And Zadie Smith probably is most well known for White Teeth from several years ago. But N.W., her latest book, refers to a neighborhood, a section of northwest London that she grew up in. And it's a multicultural place. And in the book, she's following 4 adults who grew up in the same housing project as they try to kind of move beyond, you know, their origins. And so most of the book focuses on 2 best friends, 2 women, Leah and Natalie, and they've been best friends since grade school. And Natalie, whose name used to be Keisha, is a very successful lawyer, and she's married the perfect man. She has 2 kids. She has a great life, but she's feeling totally trapped and unsatisfied. And Leah, her friend, has a great degree from a great university, but she's kind of stuck in a low-paying job. And her hairdresser boyfriend wants her to have a baby, and she doesn't. And she's stealing birth control pills from Natalie. And she's unhappy, too. The 2 male characters in the book, Felix and Nathan. Felix, who's my favorite character, and to me, it's the best part of the book. He's a recovering addict, and he's an aspiring filmmaker. And he just wants to lead a good middle-class life with his new girlfriend. And most of his story actually focuses on him trying to break up with an old girlfriend and who is also an addict. And it's just it's such a great part of the book. The other character, Nathan, sort of slides in and out of the book, and he lives on the street and ultimately leads to the downfall of one of the characters in the book. And so the big theme of the book is social mobility. It's a book that's very dialogue driven, but she also plays a lot around with form. So you like that or you get tired of that. You can be patient with it or not. And it's a very, very good book. She's a very good writer. I liked it a lot.
It is. I loved it. I thought it was great. And also, I read it along with. We're going to have Martin Amis on in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And also writing about the subtitle of his book is The State of England, but writing about the lower middle class and in his part of England, in their neighborhood, and reading the 2 of them together, it was very interesting.
I bet it was. I mean, she's amazing with dialogue, and she has the sort of, you know, the patois down, you know, of that neighborhood, and it just feels so real.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying about the sort of the different style and the writing and the voices, but I love that stuff. It's a really cool,
fun. Good book. Yeah. She's an amazing writer. You know.
Next up,
This Is How You Lose Her by Juno Diaz. I loved this book. I didn't read The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde. I thought this book was amazing.
read Drown first.
Okay.
Read Drown and then read that.
Okay.
And then reread this.
Okay.
And then you'll have a complete picture of this character, Junior, who is portrayed in these 9 stories in This Is How You Lose Her.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll do that. And so
there's your homework.
All right.
Because you don't have enough to
do. Yeah, exactly. These are 9 linked stories about love and infidelity. 8 of them feature the character of Junior. 1 of them is told from the perspective of the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the stories follow Junior from childhood to middle age. They're not in chronological order, and it's all about you know, his infidelity and kind of like the just desire and inconsistency. It's a kind of a subtle exploration of intimacy. It is his journey, I think, in becoming someone who's ready to have a relationship, particularly in the last story, the biggest, the longest story in the book, which was in The New Yorker, and it's called The Cheater's Guide to Love. And so this is his character. He is sleeping around a lot, but he really loves women. He empathizes with women. And in some ways, he is learning not how to cheat, but how to empathize and understand women more and more. So finally, at the end of the book, I think he really understands what love means and what it means to have a relationship. And the language that he uses to do this just blows me away, just like the mixture of like Spanglish and techno stuff. And he's just so facile with words and light, you know? His touch is so light. He's so much fun to read.
He is amazing because you literally feel as if the character is in your room talking to you, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And then you're absolutely right with the use of language and being able to pick up on it. I was having the fun little game of looking at words and trying to find definitions for them and not doing it. I was like, okay, that's so cool. And it's such a voice, and it's so powerful, and it's so beautifully written, and the fact that it will have it goes everything. You will have a reference to Faulkner, and then a very a sort of guttural reference to, you know, a sexual act. It's really fascinating.
It's high and low, and he moves between both those stages so easily.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Really good stuff. It's Juno Diaz is the author. This is How You Lose Her, and beautiful new novel.
Read it. It's not long.
No. It's a quickie. No, that'll take you about a good day. You'll have a nice Sunday read for you.
So the next book is by Errol Morris, A Wilderness of Error, The Trials of Jeffrey McDonald. And Errol Morris, if you don't know, is I think a very famous, incredible documentary filmmaker. He did the Thin Blue Line, among others. And so this book is about Jeffrey McDonald. He was a Green Beret doctor who was convicted of the 1970 murder of his pregnant wife and two young daughters. He was also badly hurt in the attack, and he claimed that the killings were committed by drugged hippies. And this story gained prominence in the media by the book Fatal Vision, and then later by another book by Janet Malcolm called The Journalist and the Murderer. Fatal Vision was also made into a miniseries, so this was all over the place in the 1970s and the 1980s. And Errol Morris was very obsessed with the story. He wanted to make a film out of it. No one would buy that idea, so he decided to write the book. And the book it feels like the movie in a lot of ways. It's very intense, and he dives into all the material, evidence, interviews, the trials, all of it. And, you know, comes out with it, I think, believing, you know, making the case that McDonald is innocent, certainly saying that all of the trials were highly problematic. So he does all that, but he also does more because he's Errol Morris. And he kind of takes on, you know, well, what is narrative? And how do we arrive at the stories that shape our understanding of events? To me, that's the coolest thing about what he does. And he kind of takes down, you know, McGinnis, the guy that did Fatal Vision, 60 Minutes, the sort of the media-imposed narrative of all of this. He also takes on Janet Malcolm head-on as well, because I think that he is trying to say that, no, there is morally defensible journalism, and this is what it looks like. And it's a really good book. It is really hard to read, too, I think, because it's just like, you know, it's just, you just see what happens to McDonald and just all the problems in the investigation and all the different characters involved. So if you're in the mood for a really great true crime, procedural, strong narrative, this is an amazing book.
Yeah. And it's written as a documentary, and anybody who's interested in the case should read it. It's really fascinating. And meanwhile, Jeffrey McDonald goes to a hearing this week, so it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Next.
Next. I just started reading both of these next books. The first one is the Michael Chabon Telegraph Avenue. There it is.
Yes.
And I've read about 100 pages. It's really, really,
Isn't
really
it fantastic?
Good.
Fantastic. I interviewed him yesterday. He's amazing.
It's so good. So what is the book about? Nate Jaffe and Archie Stallings are the proprietors of Brokeland Records, and it's a used vinyl record store that specializes in jazz and soul, and it's on a sort of cusp of a neighborhood between Oakland and Berkeley. And what they're faced with is an entrepreneur named Gibson G-Bad Good, who's a former pro quarterback turned media mogul, and he plans to build a big multiplex food court arcade media thing. It's actually called a dog pile thing, just down the road from where their record store is, and it also includes a used record store. So their very livelihood is threatened. In the first 100 pages, he introduces so many characters. So I'm sort of a little bit all over the place. There's Nate, there's Archie, there are their wives who are in business together, and their midwives. There's a very messy birth, very interesting birth, I think, that doesn't go particularly well. There's problems with it, and they have to go to the hospital. There's the child of Nate, Julius, who's a gay 14-year-old kind of pop culture omnivore, and the object of his affection, Titus. There's a councilman, Chan Flowers, and it's very, very well written. I'm really looking forward to the rest of the book. This is the first time I'm reading Michael Chabon, so I'm very happy.
Good stuff. We have about a minute left.
Okay.
And get in the final.
How Music Works. It's a squishy, awesome book by David Byrne. I was really
squishy.
I was afraid to read it from start to finish, so I just started diving in on chapters, and it really works that way. It's this incredible eclectic mix of social history, autobiography, personal philosophy, and it's also a business manual. Talks about the economics of music business, how different environments and technology have shaped music, and kind of like the how and when and why of how we make things musical. He has a really great how-to on how to make a scene, specifically why CBGB worked as an incubator of so much incredible music in the 1970s. And I think it's a fantastic book. In a way, it is very textbook-like, but also not. So we've been selling a lot of this book from our store.
Yeah, good stuff. It's How Music Works by David Byrne. For more information on the Golden Notebook in Woodstock and the great work they do, you can visit their website, goldennotebook.com. Better yet, visit them at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. Jacqueline, always a pleasure to have you here. Great to see you, and we look forward to your next visit.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We post each week's book picks online at wamc.org, or again, check the Golden Notebook out at goldennotebook.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.